When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy, Cameron Smart, and as you can see, we're also joined by Nick from a Millwall podcast, Act on Millwall, to talk about this weekend's dreaded game for the Hornets away at Millwall on Saturday. Nick, thank you very, very much for joining us tonight. It's your first time on the pod, so thanks for joining us to get the lowdown from the Millwall side. How's things with you? You all good?
Yeah, no, good to see you, boys. I mean, if you'd have asked me 7 days ago, was I looking forward to playing Watford, I would have said, can we take a pass on it? But obviously, we had a great result Saturday, and it's almost transformed our collective spirit. So, no, it's going to be an interesting game Saturday. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, you guys looking forward to it, not so much from our side. I mean, just talk to us about this season, Nick. You sit a point above the drop zone in 20th. What's happened to you guys? Because, I mean, under Rowett, you know, you were sort of knocking on the doors to the playoffs and you were really, you know, you were fine in terms of nowhere near the relegation zone. As Rowett's departure left you a bit stuck, what's gone on at Millwall this season?
Gary Rowett, I don't know how much you boys know about Gary Rowett. He's a very strange manager. He achieves quite good results with most of his clubs, and he did with us, in fairness. As you said yourself there, Mike, you know, he's got close to the playoffs last season. But he does it with the most boring, dreary football. And it's like, you know, it's like being on a high-fibre diet. You know it's doing you some good, but you're not enjoying life at all, you know. It's we got to the near the playoffs. We had a last-day chance against Blackburn Rovers, which in typical Millwall style, we went 3-1 up at half-time, anticipating the, you know, how you're going to get to Wembley, and then managed to blow it 4-3 in the second half. So for some time, in truth, we've not really tapped into what I would call the Millwall, the Millwall spirit. I'm telling you what you know already, but the biggest weapon of a small club like the Lions is the den. And it becomes that cliche, the 13th man, whatever you want to call it. 13 sometimes, 14 sometimes, and then 9 other days when it goes the other way, like it did last Saturday versus Sheffield Wednesday. So, no, we've had a real roller coaster ride of kind of unexpectedly high league table finishes, played with tactics that were really numbing. I mean, you know, you even when we won, you weren't really enjoying your trips to the den, and unfortunately, that's half the reason why you go there, is to enjoy your day with, you know, your mates, and to watch hopefully decent attacking football. Gary Rowett walked away. He left us in I think it was October, after a particularly poor result at Norwich, where the crowd were baying for him, you know, singing for him to go, clean up the chance for your family audience. We then had caretaker manager called Adam Barrett, who, when we played at Vicarage Road, we were actually under Adam Barrett's caretaking, and I'd forgotten the game completely. I just had a look before I came on with you boys. I'd completely forgotten that match. Of course, it was a 2-2 draw, and it was a kind of an end-to-end match. You know, I think we went ahead late in the game. It was a corner, and then Watford broke away in injury added time and equalised it. So it was a real roller coaster ride of poor defending, in truth, on that day. And it's got worse and worse since. We then appointed Joe Edwards with great fanfare. And unusually, Joe came to us with a real pedigree. He'd worked with Chelsea and Everton and the England national side as a coach. Came very, very highly rated. Rumour has it that his job CV references were the likes of Thomas Tuchel and Jose Mourinho and Frank Lampard. But there's a clue in the Frank Lampard part of that job CV. And Yeah, so he came with great opinion. Tried to, a few managers in our time have tried to change the way football is played at the Den. I think there's this kind of myth that Mill fans will only accept a kind of an old school 4-4-2, big man, little man, get it forwards. And, you know, there may be something in that. But other managers have tried to get, I hate this term, modern style football, which seems to be fanning around with it in your own penalty area, calling that beautiful and pretending that you're Barcelona suddenly, you know. So Joe had a brief bit of success, a lot of goodwill. I think there was probably a general idea that we did need to try and update the style of play that we have. But the problem, boys, is that you can only play top-level football with very elite players, and they seem to cost a lot of money from what I've seen. But if you're trying to play Barcelona football with players that are journeymen, you know, some of our boys have been in League One with us, and, you know, they're kind of honest, good professionals, but you can't start asking them to, you know, be the next Maldini or, you know, knock it around like in his pomp Vincent Kompany or someone, I don't know.
Yeah.
So consequently there has been a real tail off in form, and culminating in a couple of disastrous results. We played Ipswich at home, got beat badly, and that they took the foot off the pedal, 4-0 at home. And last weekend in a must-win game against Sheffield Wednesday, we got beat there. And the manner of the performances were unacceptable. There's one thing you cannot do at Millwall. You can be a poor player. You can, as long as you're giving 100%.
Yeah.
That's the only unforgivable sin at the Den, is not to give your all. And we weren't seeing that. So Joe Edwards, our promising Thomas Tuchel recommended manager, was sacked. And back comes the Messiah, the Jesus of Bermondsey comes back. Neil Harris.
Yeah.
To take us back to basics, grinding. I don't know what level of language you permit on your podcast, but certainly it was...
anything goes.
Well, it was shithousery of the old Neil Harris vintage at Southampton. Most of us were expecting a cricket score at Southampton, in truth. Some were talking about having a free hit, which makes me laugh when you're in a relegation battle. There are no such things as free hits. But no one was really expecting to go to St Mary's and get anything. But lo and behold, we thought and battled and did everything that I would ever have asked of a Millwall side, and got 3 points there, which was totally unexpected. So to answer your question, long-winded reply, Mike, I'm sorry. To answer your question, we're transformed. In the space of 7 days, we've gone from the bipolar extreme of despair into suddenly now believing that miracles can occur. Neil Harris can turn water into Interstellar Artois, and he's back. The Messiah is back. And up come Watford. So if you'd have asked me a few days ago, I'd have said, oh my God, you know, we're going to get beat. Because I thought Watford looked a decent side on occasion when we played during in October. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to expect, Saturday. Generally don't know what to expect.
Yeah, a lot of what you've just said, I found myself nodding in agreement, sort of thinking, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, you talk about, you were maybe picking up wins under Rowett, but it wasn't pretty. We went to Rotherham last weekend and we won 1-0, but my God, it was the most boring game of football you've ever watched in your entire life. I think back to when we played Sheffield Wednesday at home, and what was the statistic, Cam? They hadn't won an away game yet or something coming to
one. They hadn't won full stop.
They hadn't won full stop.
Right, okay, yeah.
1-0,
yeah.
And we were crap all game. And, you know, but then on the other side, you talk about that game against yourselves. You're a bit of a bogey team recently for Watford. And the game at our place, that was a real show of character from us to go and then snatch a sort of late equaliser. And those sort of performances seem a long, long way away. But you mentioned the man to come back in, Neil Harris. He obviously left in October 2019. Mm. Boy, it might be a silly question because he's obviously a legend, but why him again? Because I can't proclaim to following him religiously, but I know he's had a couple of spells at other clubs. I think Gillingham, I think you got him from Cambridge, he was at recently. And he's hardly set the world alight there. So why have you gone back in for him again? Is it because he's a legend and it maybe mixes things up? But to me, I don't know why you've gone for him again, especially the fact that you're sort of fighting relegation.
Yeah, there are some players, Mike, that have the magic dust around them. The Den is a very peculiar place. There are some really good players that we've had that have just failed there. We've had some decent talents that just haven't taken off there. We've had some fairly average players that find their theatre at the Den. You know, I can name you names, players that become more than what they are by playing in that very specific venue. Neil Harris, as a manager, as a player, he was a legendary figure. I won't recount the full story here, but it would be a film. His playing career based at the Den, because wherever he went as a player, had a spell, I think it was at Forest, and I think he went to Cardiff. But, you know, as you've just said, as a player, and to be honest, managerially, since he left us, no great shakes. But some people find their theatre at certain venues, and that's Neil. I mean, as a manager, I was saying this the other day, funnily enough, on our show, that if you was to ask me the most memorable Millwall moments in recent years, so going back maybe 10 years, for all of the success that we had, relative success with Gary Rowett, coming close to playoffs, which is, you know, if you look at football in the cold light of day as a balance sheet, it's a pretty good season when you nearly get into the playoffs for a middling championship level club. But it just was boring. But the big moments came under Neil Harris's moment. So you're talking about big cup wins. There was the day we beat Leicester City in the FA Cup, the day
beat us that season at your place,
yeah,
as well.
As a Premier League side. Yeah, as a Premier League side. So, you know, these were massive days. And I think it's just some players, some managers just find their venue. And I think that's Neil Harris. I mean, his motivational abilities, I'd love to know what he brings, because, you know, if you could sell it, then you'd be making a fortune out there, because he certainly transformed a squad of players that were embarrassments in truth versus Sheffield Wednesday, you know, who are a side, I can't remember how many games they hadn't won for a long while, and then they came and bossed us around like it was over Ajax 1974 or something. I mean, you know, that we made them look that good. So I don't know. I mean, it's stardust. It's that indefinable thing in football. Can't give a name to it. Charisma, whatever you want to call it. Some have it. Some places have it with certain individuals. Neil's got it at Millwall. So I think there's a touch of bring back the prodigal son. And it certainly worked on Saturday. Got to do it again against Watford, though. I don't know what kind of tactics we'll get against Watford, because at Southampton, we went and defended for all that we were worth and got goals, early header in from a free kick set piece, and then a penalty, which had a touch of fortune about the awarding of it. I could see why it was awarded. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. So who knows what we're going to get against Watford, because we can't afford to lose. And look, with other results going, also, I mean, I think Huddersfield won, I think Sheffield Wednesday won, QPR won. So our rivals in the relegation zone that we've pitched ourselves into by getting ourselves into such a pickle have all won. So we've got to do it again. And, you know, that great result at Southampton is going to be meaningless unless we can do something against Watford. So it's going to be a big game. I'm expecting a full house. I'm expecting a huge atmosphere. And like you just said, Neil Harris is back at the Den. So you can't wish for more drama than that, boys, I tell you.
Yeah, you talked a bit about style of play. Obviously, you said it was really boring under Gary Rowett. Mm. And you mentioned Joe Edwards trying to play the modern way that we're seeing everyone try and do. And it really bores me to death, to be honest. I remember a lot of comments from Gillingham fans, because it was quite bizarre when Neil Harris got sacked there.
Yeah.
Because they'd only lost one game, I think, and they were quite high on the table. But
he's doing well down there. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were all saying it was the most boring football imaginable. They were winning, you know, every game 1-0. Do you not feel like you've gone full circle a bit? And I mean, obviously it's Southampton away, but I looked at your stats, 19% of the ball, I think, and you went up 2-1. I think that's something that would hurt us a lot, and it'd be effective against us. But do you not feel like maybe you're going back to sort of the boring, dull, Rowett ways?
It wasn't dull. I mean, I take the point about going backwards. And yes, you are you're correct there, Cameron, isn't it? So, yeah, you're correct. And there was a big debate. There was not a kind of a general desire to see Joe Edwards be sacked, because I think most Millwall fans, certainly the ones that I speak to, were fully approving of this idea of playing better, more attack-minded football. And personally, I could live without seeing goal kicks rolled around your own penalty area and played out from the back. You know, that isn't beautiful football for me. I'd sooner see it punted. It was quite funny on Saturday, because for the first time in months, I saw our goalkeeper actually put the ball on the six-yard line and kick it down to the halfway line, you know. And it felt like, you know, a refreshing drink after a long, dry spell. You know, it was wonderful. So, yeah, knock it around and play it around. We actually played some decent stuff in phases with Joe Edwards. But I don't know the players fully believed in their capabilities to play it for 90 minutes. We played in phases. We had a series of good results over Christmas and got ourselves away from relegation. But then it was almost like they progressively started to lose belief in that ability. We had an ever reducing part of the game where we were playing well and looking really good. So it went from half an hour looking like we were brilliant down to eventually 10 minutes and 5 minutes, and then it all went to pot. I think there is a sense. I mean, we don't really know how long a term an appointment it is to have Neil back. So, you know, whether it's just to the end of the season, don't know. I mean, it's to pull us out of trouble. I think survival in the Championship is the be all and end all of this move. And if it achieves that, with all the money that's involved, I mean, dropping into League One, as I'm sure you boys know, I mean, it's a financial precipice, isn't it, going down there? So it's essential that we stay in the Championship. And that's what this appointment has been designed to do, to tap into the electricity that the Den can generate when it has the right kind of personality and the right kind of playing approach. We saw it Saturday. We've got to do it again on Saturday again up against Watford, as we've said.
Yeah, and with everyone trying to play possession football, trying to, you know, everyone's got to be passing the ball on the floor. You can't go long at all. I think you need a team to come in and just mix it up a little bit. And I'd say we're one of those teams that is trying to control the ball a lot, and I wouldn't say it really gets the best out of us. And I think a team like Millwall coming in with Neil Harris, trying to mix it up, trying to make us uncomfortable and going long, I think that would be really uncomfortable for us. And especially at the Den, I think our defenders could buckle under that kind of pressure. And yeah, it could really be a long one for us if we're not fully concentrated. But speaking of long days at the Den, I think there's one.
I've had a few.
Well, I've had one. I think there's one player Watford fans will be looking out for, thinking.
I've got two, Cap.
Well, yeah, but one in particular.
Yeah.
Tom Bradshaw. I mean, he didn't start against Southampton, did he? But is there a player that, you know, we should really be looking out for other than him? Because I mean, yeah, if he's not playing, I'm wondering who's going to hurt us here.
Wow. if you can think of anyone, let me know, because I'm not sure who's going to hurt you either, to be honest with you. I mean, it's the interesting point. I mean, I think the mistake a lot of opponents might think is it's going to be direct. We don't actually have a big central striker because of the mix and match approach this season. We've had three different styles now of how you approach a game. Edwards really with his pass and movement, Chelsea style, if you want to give it a name, as where he's come from, you know, required a different time. So we weren't playing with your big kind of most recent example we've had would be Matt Smith or Steve Morrison, the big man that you hit with the pump forward or get the ball wide and get it into him. So we don't have anyone like that. We've got Michael Obafemi on loan from Burnley, who is a fast striker. We haven't really seen the best of him yet. I'm hoping we start to see some balls played in behind for him to run onto, because that's going to be his strength. Tom Bradshaw is our other striker. We've been afflicted with injuries all season, so that's not helped our cause. But Tom's tenacious and will chase and harry and just be. He's one of these players that just buzzes. He's all the time. He's there in front of you. So I'd imagine, you know, be trying to work mistakes and errors from put the pressure on the Watford defence. But I don't think you're going to see what you would call long ball football because we don't have anyone to aim it at. Tom Bradshaw is not going to win much in the air. You know, he's too short. So it's going to be interesting to see what approach we take Saturday because we need a win. And however it's achieved, even if it is a Gary Rowett 1-0 bore fest, I'll take it at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see what approach Neil takes at home.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it sounds very much like there's a feel-good factor around, you know, especially after beating Southampton. And like you say, Neil Harris has come back and it's going to be his first home game in charge again, second time round. So, you know, of late, Watford's trips to the Den haven't been great. I remember in lockdown season, I think we drew 0-0 there and it was a very sluggish game. I went to one where we drew 2-2 and Ian Holloway was manager. I think Martin Walford.
Don't say that name. Don't say that name.
he equalised in the last
delete
minute.
That bit.
I went to one when Matty Vidra scored in the season. We went up and we won 2-0. And then of late, you know, Matty Pollock, he even mentioned it in one of his sort of interviews with the club. Because he had an absolute mare there last season, and it was an absolute nightmare. But I want to say it's different this time around. But I know Watford, and I just think your boys are going to be so up for it. So I'm imagining a repeat of last season. But what areas? And this might seem a silly question because of where you are in the table. But what areas are there for Watford to exploit? Where can Watford get joy against Millwall this coming Saturday?
Teams that have done best against us have attacked us, and Southampton tried this Saturday. It didn't quite work out. We've got a bit of a makeshift left side, so we had Danny McNamara, who's a right-sided defender, but he's having to cover on the left, so he's playing out of position effectively. And all season teams that have found the most joy against us have probably come down the left side. So, yeah, I mean, pace and movement on the left side particularly will... I would have expected, you know, until recently, put us under trouble. It was a bit like every man to the pump at Southampton. So, you know, they're a good side. They keep the ball, they move it fast, and you know, at times it was clinging on for grim death down there. But you know, it got us through to a valuable win. But I would say speed and movement, which kills anyone, but it would certainly find our defence. It would straight. We've gone back to a four-man defence as well, which is another interesting thing, which is great by me. But previously, trying to play with three central defenders and wing-backs. And again, it's this thing that you get in the modern game that you're told you should, you know, the past is bad and this is now the modern way. And all you're watching is players that aren't quite up to it, trying to do their very best in an unfamiliar formation. So I'm hoping we're going to see some familiar formations and players in position as far as injuries allow. And I mean, to answer your question, I would think the left side might be the strongest card for Watford.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. It'll be interesting to see who we go with, whether we persist with Ken or go with Martins and try and switch it up. Cam, you look like you're wanting to say something on that point of the left-hand side.
No, I heard you say speed and movement, and I thought, right, well, you're going to be completely fine then, because speed, we leave all that on the bench and don't bring it on until the 87th minute. And
that's
movement, never seen any of it. So you're going to have a great day, I reckon.
Well, that ties perfectly into my next question, actually, Nick, because I was going to say, I know you've only seen one game since Harris has arrived, and I think I know what the answer is going to be. But where do you think you can hurt Watford? Do you think the crowd's going to play a big part in this one? First, the game back, as I say, for Harris. You're hoping for a decent turnout. Is that where you're hoping you can hurt us before a ball even kicked?
Absolutely. The crowd, we took, I think it was 2,700 down to Southampton, made an immense impact in the game. I mean, the situation for the Lions at the moment, boys, is that we've got a big injury crisis. We don't have a deep squad. So you're always really looking for, you know, we've got some decent players, but for the most part, you're looking for that collective to be more than the sum of the parts, if that's the right way to put it. coming into the equation then is the surge and the power that the Den can create. It is a very different venue to most championship grounds. It just is. Long may it continue from my point of view, but it can be a very uncomfortable place when it's on form. Now, if you were coming to us maybe, you know, 10, 15, 14 days ago, you'd have found a Den that maybe you wouldn't recognise because it was pretty flat. The crowd were on at their own players. They weren't seeing the effort that they require. And, you know, that almost becomes counterproductive. So opponents flourish in that kind of environment. So that we're getting beaten badly, and we've been beaten badly a few times this season. But, as we said a few times, we now have the Messiah's return. So the electricity is going to be flying. I'm expecting it to be close to a full house on Saturday. And Neil Harris understands Millwall Football Club. Maybe that's why he's not flourished elsewhere, because some managers are so much in tune with one place that's, as we've said, that's their theatre. And I'm expecting it to be an emotional day. I'm expecting it to be a crowd that's fired up. And yeah, I'm thinking in terms of a big, big atmosphere. I mean, when we beat Watford in the FA Cup, which would be back in 2017, I think it was. That was Premier League, Watford. So, you know, I think we're in Division League One. I always got to call it Division Three, chaps. League One. And we, you know, we beat Bournemouth en route. We beat Watford and we beat Leicester City. At the time, were clubs with much, much bigger resources than we could bring to bear. And we beat it by that method. And that's what he'll tap into. The problem for Neil is, in the end, the cup run mentality that I'm talking about there, really, it's what we're talking about here. We've got a 12-game cup run to stay in the Championship. Mm-hmm. Is fine for cup runs or their equivalents in the league, but it doesn't really stretch over a 46-game programme. That's going to be where the stresses and strains will lie for us. So that's really what managers like Joe Edwards are trying to get us to a style where you could take that over with relatively small resources and compete. So there it is. But for this 12-game run now, I can't think of a better manager than Neil Harris to save the day. So, and I'm expecting to be a big atmosphere then, big time.
I despise the next question, to be honest.
I think he's already answered it, to be honest, Gav.
Well, yeah, you've mentioned it in the FA Cup game. But my memories of Millwall versus Watford are shit, to be honest. There was obviously that day at the Den last season.
You're sitting in the wrong part of the ground, Cameron.
Yeah, there was that awful day last season. I mean, that was probably still the worst away day I've done. And
what was the result last season? I've forgotten. Did we beat Watford last year?
Yeah, I think Tom Bradshaw got a first half hat trick.
Oh right, that's right. Yeah, he did.
We kept it nil-nil second half, eh?
Yeah.
I've forgotten that. Yeah.
But I remember being sat in my living room on Boxing Day last season, and that was just such a bad watch at Vicarage Road. The 2-0 defeat. Hassan Kamara got an early red card, and
Bradshaw scored again, didn't he, Cam?
Yeah, I think he got one, didn't he?
Yeah, he got 17 last season. He had a pretty good season last season.
In fact, I think their other goal scorer was that Vogelsammer, who I don't think he scored
yet. That's a poor game. If Andreas Vogelsammer's got a goal against you, you've had a poor day.
I'm pretty sure it was his first goal, and we were halfway through the season. So
he's gone back to Germany now. He's not a danger anymore for you. He's gone back to Germany.
Thank God for that. But that's pretty much all I've got. Obviously, we got promoted against Millwall in lockdown, but that was lockdown. So I have no memory of it.
And it was a pretty poor game as well.
It was a really poor game. Really, yeah, we got the early penalty and then just sort of didn't really do anything. You mentioned the 0-0. That's my only experience of us playing Millwall, and it's not a great selection. But yeah, you've talked about the FA Cup game that you're clearly quite fond of. But any other big memories of this fixture?
Watford, wow. The classic. I mean, again, we're going to come back to Neil Harris, because Neil Harris as a player was a highly promising striker, goal scorer, free goal scorer for us. We got promoted with his goals in 2001. And then he went down with testicular cancer. So this is the story of Neil Harris and his comeback game after treatment. He probably came back a little bit too soon, but he famously came back in a famous win at Vicarage Road against obviously Watford. and he scored a late, late goal. And there's this iconic photo of the team featuring Sean Dyche, Tony Warner, Richard Sadley, and then Neil Harris being lifted out of this kind of, you know, lifting him up, pointing at the sky. So that's an iconic game in Mill history, ties in with Neil Harris. Otherwise, no, I suppose, yeah, I mean, is it a London derby for you boys? I don't know. I think of it as a derby, really. It's not really, is it? I know it's on the end of the tube, so within the M25, I know, but it doesn't really feel like a London derby match to me. It's, you know, it has its own personality in Watford. Different. It's not London, you know. So it doesn't really stick in my mind terribly much, you know.
Yeah, I think it's easy for journalists to try and lump it in that category of, oh, it's a bit of a London derby, but it isn't. And I mean, I said earlier, recently, you know, I've really not looked forward to the game. But before that, sort of the mid sort of 2010 period, we had a bit of a decent run over you. And we had your number a couple of times. I remember one game in particular, the season we went up in 2014-15. I went to the away game and we won 2-0. But the home game, I don't know if you can remember, Nick, it was around Remembrance Sunday and we actually had a black and white striped kit.
Yeah, I was there. I went to that game at Watford.
I think it was 5-0.
Kind of result is gone from my head now. You know?
There was that big TIFO display as the players walked out and it was the poppy and
That
sticks out, and I remember you had Ford in goal, and those couple of games stuck out for me. Like I say, we had a 2-2 with you at the Den as well. That was my first trip there in 2012, 2013, around that time. So, but of late, other than the game that Cam mentioned in lockdown where we won promotion against you, bit of a boring game, to be honest. Other than that, recently it's been a bit pants, to be honest. So, and I think Saturday we'll just add to that list, unfortunately. And I know Cam, your next question is relevant to that as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So, what are your score predictions for this one? And
oh, mate,
try and keep it as low as you can.
I mean, it's. The essence of the Den is that there are some games where you can almost feel the kind of electricity in the air, the hysteria in the air. There are many, many games where that doesn't apply and it's as flat as a pancake and you wonder what I was talking about if you went there. I could have taken you to last week against Sheffield and it was quite toxic there. So, you know, it varies so much. I'm just anticipating an electric game on Saturday. This is what we live for. These games, these are the moments that you live for as a Millwall fan. You're never going to win much in the way of silverware, but you live for these moments. And this is a Millwall moment. Mm-hmm. A score prediction? I don't know. We've kind of got to win because there's no other place to go in this relegation fight. So I'm anticipating a win. That said, this has been such a topsy-turvy season that anything is possible, to be honest. So, I mean, I'll predict a win. I'll go with a 1-0 win, but it could as easily be the other way around, boys. So, you know, I've got to go for a Millwall win. Otherwise, I feel like I've been some kind of traitor to the cause.
To be honest, I think I rarely do this, but I'm probably going to go down that route of a Millwall win as well. To be honest, Cam, mate, it all depends when that first goal is scored. For me, if they open the scoring sort of first 10 minutes, we could be in for a long day. I'm going to go with maybe 2-0 to Millwall. I think this uncertainty over at the moment as we record, which is Tuesday the 27th of Feb, the uncertainty around whether Ishmael is still at the club, whether he's not, and we're lining up a replacement, that's all up in the air. For all we know, you know, typically, the way this podcast works is we'll click end recording and it'll be announced that he's gone. So whether he's still there come Saturday or whether he's not, I just think the uncertainty of it all, it's too much. And if we play like we did against Huddersfield, my God, we're going to be in for a long old day. So I'm going to go with 2-0 to Millwall. What about you, Cam?
Yeah, well, Nick's mentioned that atmosphere at the Den when it's on it. And for me, I've seen it when it's on it. And for me, that means when Imran Luza was being stretchered around the ground and they're booing him and throwing stuff at him the whole way around, and Matty Pollock making his debut and having that nightmare. I mean, it is such a hostile place to go. And our players are just completely shot of confidence at the moment. A lot of them are. So I'm not expecting anything good to come of this for us. And yeah, I think it could be very similar to last season if we're not careful. But I'll be, and I'm going to call this optimistic because I do think it will be worse than this, but I'm going to say a 1-0 win for Millwall.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned, obviously, it's been mentioned already tonight by Nick, and then you've just mentioned it. It's all about the atmosphere, and this actually links quite nicely, to be honest, because there's a bit of a link. I will never forget Birmingham City away in the season we got promoted. It was Gary Rowett had just been appointed. Bit of a club legend, you know, played for Birmingham.
As a player. Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. And it was his first home game in charge. And it was a Tuesday night. And we went there and we were, you know, really going for it. We got promoted that season. Birmingham was sort of middle of the road. And their fans won them that game that night. And we lost 2-1. And I could tell as soon as I got into the ground, I knew we'd lost that game. The atmosphere was electric. It's one of the loudest stadiums I've been to when they're on it. And Millwall's no different. So I do really worry about where this is going to end up on Saturday. But, you know, hopefully this is all reverse psychology and we're going to win 3-0 and come away happy and everything's going to be great again. But I can't help but feel that little bit in the back of my mind that this is going to be one of those games because, you know, as you say, you know, sometimes with Neil Harris, he might not have performed well at other clubs, but he knows Millwall. It's his bread and butter. He knows that place like the back of his hand. And if someone's going to guide him to safety, it's going to be Neil Harris, and it's going to add to the amazing story that he's already created at Millwall. So that does worry me a little bit. Now, one last thing that we like to do on this podcast before we leave is we like to play a game and test your knowledge of God. Millwall and Watford.
Millwall and Watford.
Yeah. So we like to play a game called Play for Both. So ask how many players you think you can name that have represented both Watford and Millwall. And then depending on how many you get, we'll add it to the leaderboards. Because I think at the moment, QPR fan is winning. So if anything, you want to knock him off top spot. Because there's a London derby talking about. How many players do you think you can name that have played for both Watford and Millwall?
Oh, blimey. Okay. Well, I can tell you a manager. That's Kenny Jackett, of course. Yeah. Players, Darren Ward played for Watford and Millwall.
He did indeed.
Sean Dyche played for Watford.
Yeah.
Darius Henderson, did he play for Watford?
He did indeed. He was a great player. I loved him.
Good player. God mighty, after that, who else is there? No, you're right. Now, this is where the life drains out of you now, Mike. No others are occurring to me as I'm sitting here. You put me on the spot with this. I'm not going to prep for this, but I'm.
We do it to everyone. You talk
to three. How many did this QPR fan get off the top?
I think he got double figures, to be honest.
Did he? Oh, right. Yeah. You're talking to a bloke that can't remember the lockdown season. You were quoting statistics from the lockdown earlier. I can't remember it. I can't think of any other chaps.
No, that's absolutely fine. You can retire on three,
As soon as we press leave the show, I'm going to remember all of it.
Well, I'm going to rattle through a few now. So
okay.
We have got two goalkeepers. We've got Chris Day, played for Millwall between 2006 and 2007.
That was a disaster season for us.
we got Lenny Pidgley. He was
I don't remember him. I don't remember him. There'll probably be
a few here that you've probably tried to forget as best as you can, and vice versa for us.
Didn't know Pidgley play for Watford then.
We got Neil Ardley, who incidentally actually got sacked from his role at York today, but he's
He went to Watford, didn't he? To Wimbledon. He went to Wimbledon after. That's so right. He was managing.
We got a player who he only played twice for Watford, and according to my website, only played five times for Millwall. So you probably won't remember him. Moses Ashikodi.
Oh, everyone knows Moses Ashikodi. Yeah, yeah, everyone knows him. He was part of the FA Cup final squad. We made the FA Cup final bizarrely in 2004, and Moses was involved in the fracas with another player, another Millwall player called at the time called McCammon, Mark McCammon, and it led to like club disciplinary thing. Oh, it was all sorts of nonsense about it. So yeah, remember Moses Ashikodi? I didn't know he played for Watford though. That's
he was with us when we got promoted unexpectedly in 2006, and the thing.
Okay.
We were just sort of anyone will do sort of thing. And like I say, he only played 23 minutes in those two games.
I think he had lifestyle issues, chaps. I think he had lifestyle issues.
Yeah. Let's put it that. Yeah. Hammer Boazza. He was quite well received.
Boazza. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. He was slaughtered. He came on at the Den. He had one good free kick. He was a free kick man. He came on one cold night at the Den wearing gloves, and there's one thing you can't do at the Den as a player, that's wear long sleeves and gloves and those tights that you can wear. No, don't do that, Hammer. And he disappeared without trace after that. I don't know where he went, but I do remember. He was a good player, but he only showed it the once.
Well, you say about players getting scrutinised. This next one definitely did at Watford. Matthew Briggs, we had him on loan. And
Briggs, Fulham player, wasn't he? Did he come to
yes, that's correct. Yeah, he was at Fulham. He was the one that famously, or infamously, however you want to look at it, give away the penalty to Leicester when Deeney scored up the other end.
Okay.
Knockout went down like a sack of spuds, but he still manhandled him and whatnot, so...
I remember him playing for us. He made no impact, put it that way.
Yeah, same here. we got Chris Day and Sean Dyche. Lloyd Dyer. I didn't know he was at Millwall, to be honest, until I saw this.
Now you say it. It's one of those half memories that lurk in your head, like a childhood memory.
Man who, this will always make me laugh. Now, I know you said not to mention him earlier, but that manager from down south.
Hollow words.
Yeah. He loved moaning about the fact that we'd signed all these loan players when he was manager of Crystal Palace, and Watford signed all these Udinese players. And then what did he go and do at Millwall? He went and loaned one of those Udinese players.
There was an
Watford.
Italian player we had. What was he? Fabrini? Diego
Fabrini.
I loved Diego Fabrini. I loved him.
He seemed to have that effect wherever he went on loan, but he just didn't do it at Watford. He spent more time on the floor than he did on his...
Beautiful to watch without being effective. I mean, there was a lot of debate as to, you know, why do you love Fabrini? And it was this ability to do tricks on the ball and to look beautiful, swaying in and around the wing. But did he actually do anything in front of goal? I don't think he did. So it was one of those. But yeah, I do remember Fabrini. Now you say that, yeah.
And then just to rattle off the others, you've got the Henderson, Will Hoskins, Lucas Neal.
Lucas Neal.
Williams. I didn't know he was at Millwall. He only made one appearance in 2008, apparently.
He's been at a lot of clubs, Gifton, hasn't he? He passed through the Den, yeah. Remember him being at the club.
Yeah. You had Matthias Ranigi. You had the pleasure of having him as well, the big Swede.
I've forgotten it. Who are you digging these names out from, mate?
Theo Robinson, he only made four appearances.
Yeah. He was the boy from Huddersfield. He came from, we paid money for him.
That's right, sort of academy product for us and tried to break through but never did, sort of thing.
He was a prospect that wherever he went always looked exciting at first. And I thought, blimey, we've signed a player here when he first arrived. And then he kind of faded rapidly. Wherever he went, he seemed to do this high splash, you know, big splash, and then that was the last you heard of him, you know. He went on to, I think he went back to Huddersfield or he went somewhere, I don't know. But it didn't make an impact.
I believe, as it stands, he's playing at Gloucester.
Is he still
the last
going?
We heard he was playing at Gloucester in the National League. But he's 35 now, and when he broke through at Watford, he was a young whippersnapper. But So yeah, Thea Robinson, Danny Shittu. I loved Danny Shittu.
Oh, no, iconic player at the Denny, because we went to the FA Cup semi-finals with Danny Shittu, and he had this catchphrase of "That's what we do." Became like a big thing at the time. 2013, I think we got beat by Wigan in the semi-final. But yeah, no, Shittu, good player. I like Danny.
Yeah. My dad would never let me get his name on my shirt when I was a kid. And see what. Jack Smith, the cousin of Watford legend Tommy Smith, he didn't really make a big dent in his Watford career, to be honest. But
he played a lot of games for us, Jack Smith. He was like a very journeyman. I think he was right back or left back? Right back, I think. In our League One days, so kind of like the late. I think it was a Kenny Jacketts signing, actually, in the kind of the years before we got promoted with Jacket in 2010. So, no, he was a good servant, actually, Jack Smith. I remember him well, yeah.
Jordan Stewart, he only made 4 appearances for Millwall, 105 for Watford. We've had him on this podcast. He's a top, top bloke. But I can't imagine he made many waves at Millwall with only making 4 appearances in 2000.
Genuinely can't even remember him. I don't even, now you say the name, only the most vague sense of something, but I don't remember him at all.
You, I would imagine, had this next man on, the last man on loan, Andros Townsend. We had Andros. Him on loan, and I think we sent him back because he was that poor, so he only lasted 3 games for Watford.
And it was a bit of a hit. He was a hit at the Den. He was a hit at the Den, Andros. But I think he was with Spurs on loan with us.
Yeah.
And we were in League One, so we had, didn't have a penny to our name. So I think he went back on to another club on loan. But he was a good prospect. I remember him being a favourite at the Den. Good player. Yeah.
So yeah, that's that. They're all the other ones you could have had. Many names in there that you would have forgot. Okay. And same here, to be honest. The less said about them, the better. But we really appreciate you coming on tonight, Nick.
You're welcome, boys.
As always, it's good to have opposition view and know what you're thinking ahead of the game. And yeah, as you can tell, me and Cam aren't the and probably all the other Watford fans listening to this aren't the most optimistic going into it. But we hope you stay up. I do have a little bit of a soft spot for Millwall. I think it is one of them places where proper football club and really get behind their team, and when it's rocking, it's up there with one of the louder atmospheres in the Championship. So, yeah, thank you very much for joining us tonight, Nick, and hopefully we'll speak to you next season.
Hopefully so, yeah. Cheers, Mike. Cheers, Cam. Good to talk to you. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. So, there we go, Cam. We've got the lowdown on Millwall, the dreaded fixture this weekend. Listening to what he said, it's just written in the stars, isn't it? A fan favourite, a legend going back, first home game, close to a sellout. Shall we just roll it to the FA now and ask for a 3-0 forfeit? That might be better for our goal difference, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to rip up my match ticket, to be honest. we wouldn't go there in normal circumstances, and we'd always succumb to the atmosphere, but. Mm-hmm. But now that they've got this special day going on, they've got Neil Harris back, and it's going to be they're all going to want to be there, and they'll all be up for it. We are not going to be up for that, are we? Our players will sink, and yeah, I really don't see this going well for Watford. So I was already quite pessimistic, I think, quite understandably, with everything going on. Yeah. But now, after hearing everything Nick just had to say, I am even more pessimistic somehow.
Yeah, and everything that's going on at the club at the moment. I mean, I said earlier we're recording on Tuesday the 27th. We're going to put this video out on Tuesday, but as it stands, 7 o'clock now, we still don't know if Val's the manager or if he's not. We've seen things online to say he isn't. We've seen things online to say he is, and all of that just adds to the craziness at Watford at the moment. So. It's going to be an interesting, interesting watch on Saturday. I've got some painting to do. I'd rather do that than watch the game, to be honest. And I watch it dry as well afterwards for fucking good measure. But yeah, it could be quite hairy on Saturday, and I'm not looking forward to it. And Then we've got another game on Tuesday at home to Swansea. Hopefully do the double over them, although the way things are at the moment, we've not won at home for, I was listening to From the Rookery end earlier on the way home, and I think it's bordering on 99 days that since we won at home, I think.
Yeah, that could be right, but I know it's 7 games, and that's the third longest run in the EFL without winning at home. So, yeah, something's got to change.
Yeah, something has got to change. But if you've watched tonight and you've enjoyed it, don't forget to drop a like on it. Drop your comments as well. Let us know your thoughts ahead of the Millwall game. Let us know your team predictions. Let us know your score predictions as well, and any memories that you might have from Millwall against Watford. We'll put our team predictions out on Twitter close to the game, probably on Thursday or Friday, once we've had, you know, the team news come out from the press conference from Valerian Ismail or Tom Cleverley or Troy Deeney or Roy Keane or insert name here.
Jay Rodriguez.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you've enjoyed the video, drop it a like, leave a comment. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button as well, and leave us a rating on your favourite or your usual podcast provider as well, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave a rating as well. But ourselves will be back on Sunday to dissect the Millwall game, whatever the score. Don't know who it's going to be yet. But yeah, we'll be back on Sunday to talk about the Millwall game. But till then, come on, you all. Sports Social Podcast Network.